theme this evening is the unlimited God of unlimited love. How do you picture God's love then? It's so vast, eternal, and beyond all measure. How on earth do we picture it? Now, the Bible uses lots and lots of imagery, and it uses things that people have already experienced to try and take them deeper and lead them into an understanding of a spiritual truth. So it's like saying that what we're going to do this evening is we're going to look at a picture that the Bible gives us, one of a temple that was given to Ezekiel in a vision. We know what a temple looks like. We know what a river looks like. Can we have that one? But we wouldn't necessarily recognise a river that flowed from a temple. It was bound to leave us with a question. What on earth is that all about? Jeff, would you come and read that to us? It's from Ezekiel 47.
As Pam says, it's from Ezekiel 47, and we're leaving out verse 2. The man brought me back to the entrance of the temple, and I saw water coming out from under the threshold of the temple towards the east, for the temple faced east. The water was coming down from under the south side of the temple, south of the altar. As a man went eastward with a measuring line in his hand, he measured off 1,000 cubits and then led me through water that was ankle deep. He measured off 1,000 cubits and led me through water that was knee deep. He measured off 1,000 and led me through water that was up to the waist. He measured off 1,000. But now it was a river that I could not cross because the water had risen and was deep enough to swim in. A river that no one could cross. He asked me, "Son of man, do you see this?" Then he led me back to the bank of the river. When I arrived there, I saw a great number of trees on each side of the river. He said to me, "This water flows towards the eastern region and goes down into the Arabah where it enters the sea. When it enters, empties into the sea, the water there becomes fresh. Swarms of living creatures will live wherever the water flows. There will be large numbers of fish because this water flows there and makes the salt water fresh. So where the river flows, everything will live."
Thanks. Thank you. So the river flows from the temple, the place that signifies God's presence with his people. And in chapter 43, that had begun by saying Ezekiel had been shown the glory of the Lord coming down on the temple and had promised that he would be there always, forever. So straight away, we see that the source of the river isn't the temple building, it's the presence of God. That's the source of the river. It's cascading down over a hillside and on through arid desert land, cooling and hydrating it, bringing life as it flows. The passage speaks of trees along the banks and shoals of fish. So it's bringing life, energy, provision. It's a picture of God pouring out his love, his spirit, his vitality, and expressing God's abundant love in a fluid and vibrant way. It's life-giving and transformative. God's love isn't something that's static, When we become Christians, it's not something that we get and put in our pocket. It's not a badge that we put on to say, I'm a Christian, I've got God's love. No, it's fluid. It's like a river. This is a really good picture. It's a continuous movement and flow and an endless supply from our eternal God. And likening God's love to water, we get a picture that it's pouring out, cleansing away our sins, bathing our hurts, calming our fears, refreshing our resolve to walk with him. It can be inspiring and invigorating for our service to him. And of course we know that water is for everyone. It's not just for us. And even if you're standing in a river as immersed as you can be, there's so much more water that's flowing on past. It's got to be for everybody else as well. It's so vast that we could swim and not be able to cross it. So there's plenty of love for everyone that it could possibly reach. There's no global warming effects here. It expresses the unlimited supply of God's love. There's an interesting point too, isn't there? That whether we choose to engage with it or not, the river of God's love will choose to keep flowing. It's not dependent on whether we engage or not. God is love. It's his very nature. And the great mystery of faith is that he calls us into that to work with him, to be part of the work of salvation, to be part of a prayer and outreach for other people. So let's draw our focus to those words in verse 8, if you have that open. When this water empties into the sea, the water there becomes fresh. And verse 9 says, because this water flows there and makes salt water fresh. So where the river flows, everything will live. Make salt water fresh. Now, if you know anything at all about estuaries, you know that the water is brackish where the river enters the sea. That means that when you add fresh river water to salt seawater, it becomes slightly less salty. Doesn't make it fresh. So this river is God's love and his life and vitality. This is God's living water, turning salt water fresh. It's not diluted. It's cancelled out. So this is a really clear picture of the redeeming work of Jesus Christ through his death and resurrection. This river water is the work of the Holy Spirit, ongoing work in us. Salt water turned fresh is cancelled sin, and that's only possible through the redemption in Jesus Christ. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 4 and 5 say, because of God's great love, we're made alive with Christ by grace through faith. In John chapter 2, Jesus says, tear down this temple and I'll raise it again in 3 days. And then John goes on to explain it, that the temple Jesus had spoken of was his body. And we say now, don't we? Yes, of course. This vision of Ezekiel is all about the coming of the living temple. It's not about a building. It's about Jesus, God with us, the presence of God, and the outworking of the Holy Spirit. And 1 Corinthians 3:16 says, and now you are God's temple because God's Spirit lives in you. When we come to God in prayer, I want to suggest that what we're doing is almost akin to stepping into this river and engaging with God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Did you notice the different depths of water that were shown to us in the passage? When we come to God in prayer, the choice is ours as to what depth we go into. We choose whether we're up to our ankles or our knees or our waist. And we can maybe ask ourselves that question later on. Am I paddling? Am I wading? Am I swimming? Am I where I want to be? Am I where God's calling me to be? Someone said to me last week that prayer was something that they found a bit difficult because it seems to snowball. You start off with the prayers that you pray yourself, and then other people ask you to pray, and then another situation arises and you add that in as well. And before you know it, it's starting to get so big and unwieldy and you don't know when to stop or how much of your time to give. And so maybe in our groups later, again, we could actually discuss that. How do you handle it? People with lots of experience will have lots of different ways of saying, this is the way God's shown me. Maybe that will work for you. Now, can I encourage us all by saying, I've looked at that passage and it mentions swimming. I can't find anywhere it says about drowning. So we shouldn't be drowning in prayer. Jesus says, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. So if we're being overwhelmed and overburdened, we know who's doing that and he can go away. Prayer is such a precious gift, isn't it? We are incredibly ordinary people, but our God is extraordinary. And he's drawn us into his intimate company. He listens to everything we share with him. I like that John was saying this morning, if you were here, about being able to sit alongside and just hold hands. And even with your eyes closed, you know who it is. He listens and he engages with us and he longs to steer our thoughts and actions his way. We can enjoy being with God in prayer and just spend time together. And in conversing and sitting a while, there's connection, there's interaction, enjoyment in each other's company. Aligning our thinking with where God is. We all get that bit, don't we, about bringing our prayers to him. We get that. But prayer is as much about God bringing the prayers on his heart to us so that we pray into that. And through that, we can pray God into any situation, any need. We can pray what we see, what we hear, what we experience, and above all, we can pray what he lays on us. James 5:16 says, the prayers of a righteous man are powerful and effective. Why would that be? Except that our God is powerful and effective. In nature, we see that along the path of rivers, there's abundant life, even when they flow through otherwise dry and barren land. And people imitate that by running irrigation channels onto dry ground. We can be spiritual irrigation channels and just picture praying this river of love flowing into every situation. Such is the power of prayer in partnership with God. It brings life and forgiveness into impossible places, into impossible relationships and situations. Amazingly, it can drive out hatred and indifference. You can't fight it out, but you can drive it out with love of God. It can drive out fear and distrust, bringing peace and stability. So if we start praying and we let God fine-tune where we are and see where our prayers bend from where we start to where God takes us, how he shapes it. Anything we pray about is already on his heart. He's just waiting for us to join in. And nothing's too far away from God's love. I've got this wonderful picture up here of the Gulf Stream. If you have a look, it starts over in Central America. In the Gulf of Mexico. It's a fast-flowing, warm ocean current, a river within an ocean that crosses the cold Atlantic, and it brings a warmer climate to Western and Northern Europe than we could possibly otherwise have. Now, if that's what nature can do, how much more can the boundless river of God's incredible love do together with our prayers? When it makes salt water fresh and brings forgiveness and reconciliation and life. Life in all its fullness. Just picture that river flowing and purifying as it goes, flowing around the world, carried on the prayers of people who are ordinary and everyday, just like us. Water finds its own level, doesn't it? All our prayers seeping through to where God needs it to be. So when and where do we pray to our unlimited God? Can you remember that martini advert? Any time, any place, anywhere? Can I add to that? Anybody, any language, any topic, any length, any takers? Now I'm hoping you're going to say yes to that and pray with me now. Will you pray with me now? And I'm going to suggest that we don't adopt the shampoo position. As soon as I was thinking about this river of love, can I, if you can, don't anybody do themselves a mischief, but if you can, as we pray, can you tip your head up? Receive that water. Receive that water. Be conscious of God's love pouring over you, washing down over you now, pooling around any aches and pains, any difficulties. Feel God's touch, soothing and calming. Just smoothing away tiredness and worries. Washing away doubt and uncertainties and bringing that wonderful clarity that God does. Are you thirsty for God? You can drink this. Take a drink. This water is refreshing. Let the Lord minister to you as you need. And we say, Lord, invigorate my whole being. Trickle down into the depths of the dry and aching places. he finds any salty water in you, let him just wash it away, turn it fresh. If you're aware of him doing that, just yield it to him and thank him for being made new. We're saying thank you, Jesus. And as we feel the flow of this living water, just dwell in it. Float in this wonderful river. The flow continues in you and over you and onwards through you, so that we can pray this river of love for others. As some people and situations come readily and swiftly to mind always. But just listen to God. Who's God asking you to pray for tonight? Turn my thoughts, Lord, to pray into your desire for people, for the people I know, the places I go. Inspire me to do your will. Excite my heart with a new way to share your love. Amen. If you would find it helpful, I want to suggest that there are three different ways we might respond to that now. I've got some tables over here and I'm going to put some bowls up on them in a second. You might find it helpful to come and just to pour some water. Doesn't have to be the whole jug, just some. Into the bowl and say, Lord, I'm pouring out this prayer. Let me be part of what you're doing with these people. You might find that there's something in you. Lord, you found this in me. Wash it off me. You might want to put your fingers in there and pour it. You choose. Whatever the Lord lays on you to do as a response, you can do that. Not everybody's comfortable with doing that, I know. If you want to stay in your seat, option two. You've got a piece of paper, write a name or a place that the Lord is laying on you. And just pray a pouring of God's love over that paper. You might be somebody that likes to stand up. So option three, there are people that like to walk their prayers. So come and walk down through the aisle and around at the back. Be a part of that flow of that prayer as you're carrying it forward to God. You can do any of those three ways. Please don't just do what everybody else is doing. Do the one that's right for you. You can come to the water, stay in your seat, or have a walk. But please do it as an attitude of prayer. And I say to your friends, be free in the Holy Spirit to move now.